Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Dukes and Bell, Abe Gordon in for Mike today. Mike's headed down to Miami for the Formula One race, and I'm sure he'll be posting stuff all weekend long. Love to hear from you guys at 404-726-0929, and we're out here at Atlanta United's training grounds. Today was the media game, which was a lot of fun. Now, again, I did not participate. I have to read this, or at least a portion of it, from our buddy Mike Johnson, who hit me up. Listen to Mike in the morning. Morning shift, Bo and Allie. But Mike said, man, I got to give, and he's giving you props here, Abe, so this is for you. He goes, I got to give a big shout out to my guy, Abe. You know, he says he was a dog out there today. He says, had our team won, he would have been the man of the match. So that is from Mike Johnson pumping you up and saying you played a lot better than the four goals you gave up.
Yeah, and look, I love Mike, and I appreciate the kind words, but ultimately all that matters is the end result, and it was a loss, and I have to eat that. I have to think about that at night.
You have to live with that.
Carl, I don't get a chance for retribution for 365 more
this
days.
This is true. You're going to have to wait.
It's going to eat at me.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a real bother. I might have to start therapy.
You going to be all right tonight?
Tonight I'll be fine.
Okay.
You know.
Are you drinking on this diet, by the way?
I can, yeah.
Okay, you can drink. All right, I'm just wondering.
But I can't drink just like anything, liquor.
What do you mean, can't drink anything? You just said you can drink.
Yeah, but like beer's full of carbs, right?
This is true. So you, what are you drinking? Like straight bourbon? What are we talking about?
Could go straight, but I cut it with Diet Coke.
Okay, all right.
Bourbon and diet.
Because you might need one of those tonight. Hey, Mike Johnson, thank you so much, as always, man. But he hit me up. He said he just wanted to give you some props. Hey, coming up, we're going to talk to Rick Stroud, who covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's one of the best in the business. Guys, I still think that they are the team to beat in this division, despite what we've done. Despite how excited I am about the potential of our team, you can tell me all you want, but we allowed the door to stay cracked last year for the Buccaneers, and they broke through it. Now, was it our fault? Yes.
Yes.
But, Abe, I mean, like, if you told me right now that you're not picking the Bucs to win this division based on the fact that they've won it, what, for the last 3 years? No Brady? I mean, say what you want about Baker Mayfield. He's been a leader on that team. So, I'm just looking at our squad. I think we should win this division. We should have won it last year. But as we go into the start of, you know, the real offseason now, well, now the draft is done, and you look at their draft, and we're going to talk to Rick Stroud about this. I thought they had a really good draft as well.
Yeah, and for me, it's still less about them and more about concerns I have with the Atlanta Falcons.
Give me one. Give me one.
Michael Penix is one.
You have a concern about him?
Yes, of course. Do you know what he is?
I think he's really good.
I'm not asking what you think or what you hope. Do you know?
Well, when because I say I think he's really good, I'm telling you, yeah, I think
last
he's really
year,
good.
Last year, I thought the Falcons should have won the NFC South because I knew what we were going to have in Kirk Cousins.
But that
and until he was healthy, that's what we had.
But that's not Michael Penix's fault.
No. It has nothing. No. But my concern is I don't know what we have at quarterback. And you can line up all the playmakers around him that you want. We've seen what having a team full of playmakers with Desmond Ridder or Marcus Mariota looks like. Now, I'm not suggesting Michael Penix is Desmond Ridder or Marcus Mariota. Okay. I want to be very clear on that.
All right.
But I'm also not just here wildly suggesting that I know he is the future quarterback franchise guy that I have full faith in. I have questions. We've seen it for three games. Those games were good. They were okay. They weren't top five performances in the NFL last season.
No, but
so I'm just trying to slow build my excitement. We talked about this with the Atlanta Hawks. I talked about this with the Atlanta Falcons with Andy and Randy. I'm in a position now where I can't go and say like I did last year. 10-7 at worst, probably 11-6 in division champs. I have a lot more questions coming in, and I just need to see it.
I don't get the questions. Let me say this. Abe's in for
how the question is, how good does Michael Penix have to be for you to win the NFC South?
I don't think he has to be – he doesn't have to be an elite quarterback for us to win this division.
I agree.
And the reason is this. You have one of, if not the best running backs in the NFL.
Sure.
You have Drake London, who has already proven to you with bums that he can give you 1,000 yards, and he should have had 10 touchdowns the last two seasons.
That's right.
If it wasn't for the quarterback play.
Sure.
You add in the fact that you've just upgraded the speed and, I believe, okay, the playmaking ability on your defense. I am not asking Michael Penix to go throw for 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns. That's not what he needs to do. He needs to take care of the football. But Abe, when he needs to make plays, and I alluded to this the other day, when we're playing the Commanders in that game on Sunday night,
right,
and he makes the throw to Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, right at the end.
That is a – guys, slow it down all you want. Talk to anybody in the National Football League. That is a big-time throw. He has a window about this big. Pitts has got a defender on his back, and if he throws it just a bit behind him, it's incomplete. It might be picked. He puts it in a place only Pitts can make the catch, and luckily he did. It's throws like that that show me whatever you thought about him in Washington where he threw it around a lot. He's got that thing. He's got the ability to put the ball wherever you want on the field. But he doesn't. We don't need him to throw for 5,000 yards.
I think we need him to be ranked, if you wanted to rank quarterbacks, whatever, somewhere between 12 and 17.
Well, I think he can do that.
Yeah, I think that's a realistic area for him. I think if he's 18th or worse.
This is interesting to me because, like, you're telling me you're worried about Michael Penix, and that's, like, the least concern for me.
I just don't think I'm writing it off as we know what we have yet. And I think I've seen that way too often from Falcons fans. It's not that I don't believe he is that guy. I do. But I'm not going to pretend like it's set in stone, locked, and we're good there.
So
I'm a little concerned.
So, after how many games will you feel confident? Because
probably six.
Okay, so let's just say.
I mean, it depends on the performances
because here's
who
the other part of this.
I don't know the schedule.
I hope this is not the case, by the way. But you know, we could start. Let's just say we start 3-3. But Penix is great in those six games, okay?
Yeah.
But we're 500. And here we are again, like, oh, our record really doesn't reflect. But the quarterback play has been excellent. Sometimes it doesn't reflect in the wins. And my point is, like, that was the case even last year, right, where we had some of these wins, and you're going, man, Kirk Cousins, guys, I don't know how we beat the Raiders. I still don't know how we beat the Raiders on Monday night. That game was terrible, and Cousins didn't play well. But it was like, okay, he didn't play well, but we still won the game. Well, what if it's the opposite and Penix is playing great, but we still don't win the games maybe we should? How are you going to judge him? See, my point is, for me, it is always tools and talent. Like, when I look at a guy, and this is how I look at these college guys, Michael Penix has the tools and the talent to be great. Sometimes that doesn't translate because of where you're at or who you're throwing the football to. But this is not a talent issue that we have at quarterback. That has been the issue for us, Abe, the last
right.
few years. It's been we're not talented enough at that position, which is why we haven't been successful. Cousins comes in with experience, plays well, and then because of injury, he's not talented enough to take us over. I'm not concerned about Penix. I am more concerned, and I that's ironic that you bring that up. I'm still concerned about what this defense is going to do. Do we still give up big plays? Is the communication and the sacks and all the stuff that we've been talking about for the last amount of years is still my concern? And you just went in the draft and doubled down on two guys that you think are going to help you. I'm more concerned about that than I am Michael
I'll tell
Penix.
You why, and it's a fair concern, I'll tell you why it's not at the top of my list is because it's not going to be worse than it was last year. it can only be a little –
You hope.
The discussion is it might only be a little bit better.
Okay, okay.
Not the significant jump in pressure, the significant upgrade in the secondary, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be worse.
New coordinator. I do feel better about Jeff Ulbrich than I did our last coordinator, simply because of experience. Whether you like or you think Jeff Ulbrich is not going to be any good.
It was very clear Raheem helped after the bye, and there was a big difference when he did.
Huge,
right?
Huge.
Okay. You can tell from just that the impact a coach can have on one side of the ball.
Absolutely.
And that's what you're counting on with Ulbrich.
That's what I'm counting on. I'm counting on the fact that he's done it.
And I agree, by the way.
And
I agree on that.
He's been at different places. And I keep saying this for Falcon fans because it's going to be easy when the season starts and we go, oh, this looks like Dan Quinn. He's not Dan Quinn. Get it out of your head. He's coming here. I got to give him a clean slate to show us that whatever this is going to look like is going to be what he wants to do. And when Dan Quinn was here, everybody, you know, for folks who follow the league, the cover three defense was everywhere, right? Everybody wanted to run cover three because that's what Seattle was doing. And you had to do this. And you had to have this kind of personnel. I feel like the way that we've drafted and what we currently have, this is going to look completely different, and it may look similar in some ways, but I got to judge him for what he is, and I just think that that's the easy, like, oh, it's just Dan Quinn. It's not Dan Quinn. When Dan Quinn came here, we weren't sure what we were getting, and then we went to a Super Bowl, and everybody said, okay, he's a pretty good coach. What do you think about Dan Quinn right now? Isn't that ironic that he leaves here and we're all pissy and upset and he goes to Dallas and he's the best defensive coordinator and now he's in Washington and he has them on the brink of a Super Bowl? It's like your opinion completely is probably different. It went bad here. There's no doubt. But that's I want to give Jeff an opportunity to show us what he's got as a defensive coordinator. I was not convinced last year with our DC.
Well, he doesn't have Micah Parsons, so that's a tough go.
He just drafted.
We're going to hope.
He just drafted.
We're going to hope. But when we talk about Dan Quinn, he had Micah Parsons in Dallas, and now he's got Jaden Daniels in Washington. So players of that caliber certainly are going to help you look like a good coach. I think what's interesting is you need to look like a pretty good coach here potentially without those players. I think that's possible. And when we look at the pass rush, right, and you say we doubled down and we're going to be better this year, we don't have to be top five. We don't need to be the third best in sacking the quarterback. But you can't be third worst either. It's a small jump, I think, on defense that makes a huge difference for this team.
What do you guys think? 404-726-0929. You concerned about Penix? That's Abe's concern. It's certainly not mine. It's an interesting perspective. Coming up, Rick Stroud's going to join us. Tampa Bay Times. He's covered the Bucs for a very long time, covered the NFL. We're going to find out what they did in the draft, how much he likes it, and what he thinks about how the Bucs are going to look this upcoming season. Next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It is Dukes and Bell Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Happy Friday, everybody, out here at Atlanta United's training grounds. The media game went on today. Abe was in goal. What was your injury, by the way? What was your injury?
I have a calf tightness.
Okay.
And
right.
It would have gotten bad if I had played field today, unfortunately. Very frustrating because I've been looking forward to it.
Yeah, well.
And I almost didn't it tightened up yesterday playing pickleball. And I almost
– Oh, so you did too much.
Yeah, I almost, like, yesterday was like, I should just not play pickleball just in case.
Okay. You should have made a better
decision. And it was, like, the last game.
I hear you. Let's talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Rick Stroud, we love his work. Tampa Bay Times has covered the league for a long time. Rick, thanks for the time today. We've been trying to go around the league and certainly our division and talk to our guys about what our teams did in division. Tell me about this draft. They went wide receiver in the first round at 19 with Abuka, the kid out of Ohio State. Did you like that pick? Did you feel like that was a need? You know, you still have Mike Evans there. How was that received, should I say?
Yeah, I mean, look, they have bigger needs, particularly at inside linebacker, but it didn't fall that way for them. And I think they fell in love with Emeka Buka early on, you know, in the process, as much about the person as the player, if that makes sense. But look, you know, last year, you know, Chris Godwin was leading the league in receptions, and he had his ankle turned the wrong way against Baltimore, and that wiped out his season. And at the same time, Mike Evans went down with a hamstring for the bigger part of 4 weeks. And during those 4 weeks, they didn't win a game. They played well. They scored 24 or so points a game, but it wasn't the usual 29 and a half. So, you know, I think that taught them something that, you know, look, Mike's going to be 32 years old, and Chris is 29 coming off another serious injury. They have Jalen McMillan, who played really great down the stretch. And the kid had, I think, 7 touchdowns in the final 5 games. But Emeka Buka is Chris Godwin for all intents and purposes. He's a slot receiver. He can play all 3 positions. But he's just, you know, very efficient. Really, they can't say enough good things about him at Ohio State in terms of his leadership and his, you know, his work ethic and his precision, his route running. So they're really happy they got him because, you know, at some point you're going to have to move on from Mike and Chris, and better to do it a year too early than a year too late.
Were people maybe looking too much into this pick? Did they read a bit too much about how this and what this means for Godwin? Do you believe he's going to be a full go for training camp in the start of the season?
Well, the answer is nobody really knows, right? He's on pace. He's doing everything that he should be. He's hitting the landmarks, whatever that is. But we know how serious this injury was. I mean, it's similar to what Dak Prescott went through, but Dak does not play wide receiver. And you know, when your ankle is dislocated and you have a fracture in your leg, there's a lot of steps you have to take. Now, the one thing about Chris is he is an absolute warrior when it comes to doing everything he can. He came back from 3 torn knee ligaments that he got in December and was able to start the next year in 2022 at Dallas. I don't think he was the same player. I think it took him a couple of years to recover from that injury. And unfortunately, when he was really back to himself, he got hurt again. But what this does is he signed for 3 years. He's got 2 more years left. And, you know, it doesn't force them to have to rush him back into the starting lineup. And they can take their time and make sure that, you know, he's as close to 100% as he's going to be for next season. So it does give him that luxury. And for that matter, if Mike were to go down early, you know, they have some receivers now, and they feel pretty good about it.
Rick Stroud joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's Dukes and Bell. Abe's in for Mike today. Rick, they went corner in round 2 and 3. Benjamin Morrison out of Notre Dame, and then Jacob Paris out of Kansas State. The thinking behind that was just like us, double downing on edge rush?
Well, I mean, at corner, you know, they've got Jamel Dean that has missed a lot of games the last 2 years. You know, prior to that, it was Carlton Davis at the same situation. They traded him away, you know, in order to find some, you know, play guys that are healthier. And I think it's a similar situation with Jamel, who, you know, has missed about 7 or 8 games the last 2 years and only had like 1 interception. So Benjamin Morrison, what's interesting about this pick is he's been extremely productive when he's been on the field. 9 interceptions in 22 and 23. This guy would have been a first round pick, but here's the rub. You're replacing, you're trying to get healthier at that position with a guy who missed most of last year with a hip injury. And not just a hip injury, but he had a similar injury on the other hip. It's sort of congenital, I guess, in high school. So they're hoping he's healed up. They think he's going to be ready for training camp and all that stuff. If he is, this is a first-round talent. He's a first-round talent that's got ball skills. That's one thing Todd Bowles said at the Combine about this draft, is that whoever they took, he wanted ball hawks on defense. And Jacob Parrish is really a slot receiver, or slot corner, if you will, a smaller guy, but he can really hit, and he's had 23 passes defense in the last 3 years. And so, you know, the plan is to move Tyke Smith to safety and put him back there with Antoine Winfield Jr., and Tyke played a lot of slot corner last year. And so now you have Parrish competing with Chris Isian to play inside there. So they feel like they really, you know, provided some depth in the secondary.
Rick, people love storylines, and a lot of times that comes from undrafted players. And the one that's going around in Tampa is Desmond Watson, the big defensive tackle out of Florida. Largest player, would be largest player, heaviest player in NFL history. I know he's lost nearly 30 pounds, and people are saying, man, you put this guy and Vita Vea right there in the middle, those two guys side by side. But this was an undrafted free agent. How realistic is it for him to make the team and become an impact player?
Yeah, that might stop the tush push a little bit, you know, when you have those 300 pounds of tush inside there like that. You know, listen, I think the one thing about him is he can move, right? He can move. Now, does he need to lose more than the 23 pounds since his pro day or whatever it's been? Yeah, I mean, he definitely does. I mean, you know, he did play at Florida, though, and so it's not like it's going to be a surprise that it's humid in Tampa in training camp. You got to be careful with a guy like that. I think the goal would be to really, you know, whatever in shape means for him, whatever they would want him to play at, certainly not 400 pounds maybe. But if they can get him in a functional weight, in good shape, he is somebody that, you know, is going to take up two, three gaps at times, but you'll have to have four hands on him. So, you know, you have a lot of situations in short yardage and other things that they could use. My guess is, and I haven't laid eyes on him yet, that he would probably be a guy they would look at putting on a practice squad as he continues to, you know, adjust to the NFL and the pace and the life and the training and so forth, and just make him the best version of himself, you know, that he can really be. But he's an intriguing guy. You know, it's interesting. We got him at 460-something pounds. And you got Tez Johnson at about 153. So they got the largest NFL player and the slightest NFL player. So it'd be an interesting picture when you get those two guys together on a football field.
Tez Johnson was their seventh-round pick, guys, a wide receiver out of Oregon. It's Rick Stroud joining us here on the show, talking about the NFC South guys. Tell me about Josh Grizzard. He's taken over as the OC. Liam Cohen, now the head coach, you know, in Jacksonville, and we know they made a splash with the trade to go get Travis Hunter. What about the new OC, and what do we know about him?
Well, we know it's like their fourth offensive coordinator in as many years, and that's sometimes a good thing. I guess it means you're picking the right guys, but when you have a defensive head coach like Todd Bowles and you're successful, you know, two of these guys, Dave Canales and you know, have now become head coaches in Liam Cohen. So, you know, Josh is an interesting cat. I mean, he, you know, the good news is that there will be finally some continuity because he's on the staff last year. And so they don't have to, you know, rip it all up and start speaking a different language to each other. And that's big, right? That's really big. So there's continuity on the staff, on the offensive staff. But Josh has not called a single play in his life. And so there's a learning curve there. They'll do a lot of call it periods in practice and training camp and stuff like that to get him, you know, up to speed with the speed of the game and such. But he knows these players. He was in charge of third downs last year, and they were the second best team on third down. You know, he's a grinder. He's a guy that is from a small town in North Carolina, Lizard Lick, I believe it's called. And he went to Yale. I mean, this guy is an absolute stud. He went to Yale, and then, you know, that wasn't enough education for him. He decided to go to Duke as a grad student and started coaching. So, you know, I don't know. If I had been to Yale and Duke, I'm probably not doing football, but it tells you he's a pretty smart guy because he's made it all the way as an offensive coordinator. He was hired in Miami by Clyde Christensen. He's an absolute grinder. Three head coaches kept him on the staff there, and they came up here last year. So it's somebody that's earned it, and yet, you know, there's going to be a learning curve. There's no question about that. But I think he knows the players. They know him. They have confidence in him. He knows what they all can do, particularly the receivers and Baker. So they're hoping that at least this year they won't be starting over like they have the previous three.
Hey, Rick, I know we only got a minute left and always appreciate your time here joining us. Is this still a two-team race in the NFC South, Bucks and Falcons? Or I'm fascinated by the Panthers and the potential step forward they could take.
Yeah, I wouldn't discount them. I mean, look, Bryce Young showed a lot of progress at the end of the year. You guys saw him in the final game when Atlanta needed to win, and he took them down, and Atlanta beat these guys twice with Kirk Cousins. I think they're better, you know, probably better at quarterback. Certainly they did some things and mortgaged some future for their defense in Atlanta, as you guys know. I still think it's the Falcons and the Bucks, but I would never discount. These guys struggle against Carolina as much as any team they ever play. So, you know, this division, no one's afraid of anybody. Anyone can win. And that's all cliche, but it's absolutely true. The Bucks have won four straight division titles. They've been in the playoffs five straight years. And so I know they want to be discounted. They want people to think that someone else is going to take the crown, but you got to take it off their head. You know, they're not going to hand it to you. So it should be a better race this year. We don't know. New Orleans is a wild card, right? But they'll make strides too.
Great stuff. Rick Stroud, have a great weekend, man. Appreciate you. Read his stuff. Follow him as he covers Tampa Bay and the NFL. Thanks again, Rick.
Thanks, guys.
Coming up, Steve Koonin. Hawks are in search of a president of basketball operations. They have interviewed a few candidates, but one of the guys on the list is Danny Ferry. We're going to ask Steve Koonin to confirm these reports and tell us what the Hawks are looking for in arguably their biggest hire in a very long time. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Nine The Game. Abe hanging out with me today here at the Atlanta United training grounds. Hope you're gonna have a great weekend. You were just telling me you know you're a big movie guy,
yeah,
as we are on this show. I said, have you seen Sinners? We're gonna talk to Steve Koonin here in just a second, and you said no.
Nah, it's embarrassing. I know.
No, it's
I've been off my game.
But and then you said, but I might try to double up because Thunderbolts is out now, right?
Yeah, I've been off my game. You know, I went on that baseball trip with my dad. That was the week that Sinners came out. I would have seen it traditionally.
Where'd y'all go this year?
We went on a minor league trip. So okay. We were Charlotte, Durham, and Kannapolis.
Yeah, because you went last year to Houston and a couple other places.
Yeah exactly.
Gotcha.
And so I would have seen it that Thursday that we started the baseball trip. That's when Sinners came out. So I saw The Accountant 2 last night.
What'd you think?
I liked it. I really enjoyed it. I'm not, you know, keeping expectations realistic for all of these films, although I've heard great things about, obviously really good things about Sinners. I've heard great things about Thunderbolts as well, and Accountant 2 also. I watched Havoc on Netflix, the Tom Hardy action crime film. It was saved by a couple really good scenes in the back half of the movie,
okay.
And that certainly helps. And then, so I got to knock off Sinners is just too good. The discussions around it are too good to not go see it in theaters.
Yeah. No. Matter of fact, they just said they're going to re-release it. I think it's next week.
Yeah.
In 70mm IMAX, which is what it was shot in.
Right.
It was shot in two different formats, which is why Ryan Coogler is getting all this love. And it was first movie to be shot in two different formats and then, you know, put together. But it's the way it is intended to be seen. And so I think the studio said, we hear the response on this movie, and so we're going to put it out in 70mm.
Yeah,
IMAX.
What they
but
saw.
But you can't get that everywhere.
What they saw was an opportunity for money.
Oh, it's still. Come on.
Did you see how much the Star Wars Episode 3 made? It came back into theaters to celebrate 20th anniversary. It made like $30 million over the weekend.
No, I did not see that.
Something crazy. Movies are on a roll right now because you got Mission Impossible coming at the end of the week, the end of the month.
You
got Thunderbolts now.
No, actually, I want to see the
Sinners.
New Mission Impossible.
I mean, movies are kind of back a little bit. Because we got in that stretch where, like, if your movie made $80 million, you're like, oh, great job, way to go. Now I think there's going to be a couple of $200, $300, $400 million. I mean, Minecraft is, like, at $800 million.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Sinners has got to be over $200 by now.
Worldwide?
Or close.
Worldwide?
I'd imagine so.
Yeah, I think so, too. It's Dukes and Bell. Abe's in for Mike today. Again, we are going to talk to Steve Koonin, and he is ready to go as he joins us. Hawks CEO here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Steve Koonin, thank you for joining us. Reports out there that you guys have a lot of potential candidates that you are interviewing, and we have been talking about one of them today, Danny Ferry, because it struck a nerve with our audience. Can you confirm that Danny Ferry is, in fact, a candidate, as the reports out there are talking about?
I can't confirm nor can I deny that report was accurate. It wasn't. Wait a second. I can't confirm and I can't deny that report was accurate. It wasn't. So several of the names in there that were attributed to leaked sources were not accurate. That's all I really can say.
Okay. With that said, is there a timeline we're looking at for this executive hire? I mean, you got the draft less than 2 months away. You've got the draft combine before that. I mean, how much time do we have to play before you really get to it and have to make a hire?
Well, the great news is our new general manager, Ansi Sala, we think the absolute world of, and we're not going to make a hire until we find the right person. So we're working through a process. We've had a first group of interviews, and we will continue till we find the right person. So we don't feel the pressure of a timeline.
Steve, what is it that you feel like you're looking for? And I know it's not solely you, obviously Tony Ressler, and there's a variety of people involved in this, but when we talk about the president of basketball ops, I've been saying to our audience, this individual, whoever they are, is going to come in and be a major decision maker and shaping the future of this organization. What are you guys looking for when you talk about either traits, experience? Is there something specific that you feel like you have to have?
Well, we think leadership is the first piece. We think, you know, the ability to build a roster and knowledge of the league and the players is a very, very important piece. It is a players' league today. I think we all know that. Mm-hmm. And we want somebody who's a really good guy and can be a great teammate to Quinn, to me, to Ansi. And that's really what we're looking for. But I would think leadership is the biggest key. You know, I'm sorry Mike's not here today because I do enjoy, you know, lecturing him on the finer points of our collective bargaining agreement.
Well, you can lecture and I'll send it to him. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's fine. As we've talked about, it gets really complex. We've all know the jam that Phoenix has gotten themselves into. There was a lot of press this week about Giannis and Milwaukee and the problems they are. With the complexity of the new collective bargaining agreement, you know, it raises the bar of the executives, and that's one of the things where Ansi, who is an attorney who worked in San Antonio and then worked for Bob Myers at Golden State, which is, you know, from Harvard of the MBA of the NBA, and say that fast three times. So we're looking for, you know, a powerful voice and great leadership and real skill and understanding of the players in the league and the players around the world.
What do you envision the power structure being between Quinn Snyder, Ansi Sala, and the new hire in terms of decision? And obviously it's going to be collaborative, but who ultimately is going to have final decision-making there?
Well, the final decision-making will rest with the president of basketball. You know, when the president of basketball says to Tony Ressler, I need $40 million to go into the tax, that's when Tony will go into the tax. You know, it's foolish to think that the owner decides when to go into the tax and the roster. The president of basketball makes that decision, and then it will be approved, and we will be, you know, hopefully competitive. But again, the new CBA, it's not about money. It's about flexibility. It's about being able to make trades. It's about being able to manage your draft picks. So it's really interesting. And I also think that this could be one of the most unique summers in a long, long time, because there are a lot of teams who are really handcuffed and are going to try to get out of that purgatory they're in.
No doubt. Steve Koonin, Hawks CEO, joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're talking about the Hawks in the process of interviewing potential candidates for the president of basketball operations position that is open. And again, if you just missed it, Steve says he can't confirm nor deny some of the reports that are out there about certain candidates. And one of them I mentioned by name. I know you can't mention any of these guys by name, but I was talking about Danny Ferry, which had some of our audience saying, okay, what does this mean? When we talk about the experience aspect of things, How big of a piece is that? Because part of the Hawks audience and our audience, Steve, says, well, wait a minute. You know, you guys gave Landry, our previous general manager, Landry Fields, an opportunity, and he really didn't have experience. Does that mean now that that is something that you absolutely have to have if you're looking at this next position?
Deep experience in the NBA doesn't necessarily mean that you've run a team, but deep experience in the NBA.
Okay. All right.
It was award season here, Steve, and a little frustration. The vote for Rookie of the Year wasn't a little bit closer. I thought Risashay, and he gets second, but certainly that should have been a much closer vote. Also frustrated that Dyson didn't win Defensive Player of the Year. I don't know what sport other people are watching, but he did win Most Improved Player. And just to have guys in those discussions, to have Dyson in discussion for Defensive and Most Improved, Risashay for Rookie of the Year, has got to make the organization feel good about the future moving forward with these two guys as part of the core.
Yeah, I mean, we're elated. Just being in the top two or three is fantastic. It's a really competitive league. And then you look at the growth from Onyeka Okongwu, the last, you know, since he became a starter, he's a monster. That Miami, our final game, unfortunately, he was incredible. And he had several 20-20 games this year. And then you put in Jalen Johnson, who, again, is only 23 years old. And we think we have as good a young core as there is in the league to build around.
You know, I've been saying this, and I want to get your thoughts, because I'm looking around the league, and we were talking about this on the show the other day, Steve. You know, team building is not just going out and getting stars. And this gets back to your aprons and you know, luxury tax comment. But I'm looking around, and I'm saying the teams that are going to be good for a while have just been constructed the right way, and they don't have three superstars. Many of them don't have two superstars. I mean, you know, look, I'm looking at the Knicks last night, and I'm saying, who thought Jalen Brunson would be this good when he left Dallas? And my point is, those are the kind of things that whoever gets this job moving forward, along with our new general manager and Anse, those are the kind of pieces, right, that you have to add that give you that stability that we're talking about, those pieces that – sometimes people go, well, I don't think that's going to work, but then it does.
Well, Carl, you're 1,000% right. Case in point, Dyson Daniels. Some could say he was a throw into the trade because we got two first-round draft picks. By the way, one of them, Milwaukee's. Mm. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And look at Dyson. I mean, now a core piece of the Hawks for a long time to come. Really, really powerful piece. You look at the roster construction of Oklahoma City. You look at the days of the big three in Miami with Bosch, Wade, and LeBron can't happen today. And they tried it in Phoenix, and it didn't go according to plan. You know, with Beal, with
Durant,
Kevin Durant, and
Booker.
You know, three guys, and Devin Booker, three guys over $50 million in salary. Didn't work. So it's a very different NBA, and I think the playoffs have been fantastic.
Steve, I got to talk about a couple of non-Hawks things at State Farm Arena. Really the talk of the town. A Pearl Jam the past couple of days. Everyone is raving about it. And I personally am looking forward to the UFC that is going to be coming here. Tickets are already flying off, and I need to make sure I secure mine. But certainly continue to be excited that State Farm Arena is just hosting some of the biggest and best things that this city has to offer.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. And we also this week announced our CBS Classic, and we've got St. John's coached by Rick Pitino against Kentucky, which I think they call our city Catlanta in Kentucky. That should be a crazy game. And then North Carolina against Ohio State, both perennial contenders. I'm so excited about UFC. It's been 6 years since they've been in Atlanta, and I urge people to get your tickets now, because it's going to be sold out, and it's got a great card, and it's going to be one of the most amazing nights. We've had the sports electric, and it's going to be nuts. So I want to show the UFC Atlanta deserves to be in the rotation more often by selling it out and having an incredible crowd.
We've got a great fight city. We always have. Going back to, you know, Ali in the boxing days. I mean, like, we've always done a great job with that, Steve. And you're right. The, you know, the UFC is no different. We were just talking about that earlier. It's funny you bring that up, Abe, because we're out here at the Atlanta United Training Grounds today, and we were just talking about that event. And there's probably, I don't know, four or five media members who were talking about, you know, wanting to go as fans and just be there. So, yeah, looking forward to that and much more at State Farm Arena. All right, Steve, before we get out of here, LeBron, I'm just curious. They're done. Is he done? Do you think he's going to come back and play? Nobody really knows. He said he's got to take some time and think about it. But I don't think he's done. I think at 41, we're going to see amazing, you know, LeBron come back.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. Obviously, opinion only, but
yeah,
he had a very, very good season. He was all NBA, but this is plays to the point, Carl, that you just talked about roster building.
Yes,
you know, they didn't have a center. Rudy Gobert had a historic night against him. I think 27 and 24, because they didn't have a center because they've got two guys in the mid-50s. And the coach wouldn't play Jackson Hayes, who, you know, was picked by New Orleans and put into the Anthony Davis trade, I believe. And, you know, just didn't feel like they could play him. And that lack of depth, I think the Lakers had like 14 less offensive rebounds. So, obviously, Minnesota's going to win every time under those circumstances. So, it's a really, really different league than it's been before. So, buckle up, and hopefully we have LeBron coming back for years to come. Tom Brady played at a high level to 45. I think LeBron can too.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Steve, thanks for the comments. And again, can't confirm nor deny some of the candidates that we've been talking about today, but they are interviewing a long list of potential candidates for their basketball, president of basketball ops. Steve, thanks again. Have a great weekend. Appreciate you.
Much appreciated. Take care, everybody.
All right, there he is.